This is Artist Stories, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. I'm your host, Ava Romero. Today, we're in the studio with Gloria Myers, who is a charter member of Tellers of Tales Tucson. Welcome, Gloria.
Oh, thank you, Ava.
Could you tell us about Tellers of Tales and how you came to join this organization?
Oh, sure. Well, Teller of Tales was founded in 1979. I was just a baby, but...
Not as much a baby as I was. I was just 1 year old.
Okay. I was a few years older, but we won't go into that. But I had recently graduated from the University of Arizona in theater production, and I was working under a CETA grant, which was federal funded, to work with the Ododo Theater, which was a local African-American theater. And during that time, we would go to the schools, we'd visit schools, and as a cast, we would tell African folktales and African-American folktales. Well, when the Ododo Theater no longer existed, I still had a lot of stories that I wanted to tell. And I met a woman named Sheila Cundy, and she was the founding mother of Teller of Tales. And I didn't realize at the time that there was professional storytellers. And I joined the organization, and I have been a member ever since.
That's fantastic. When we met, I hadn't realized that there were professional storytellers either. So this was something that I learned. So Tellers of Tales is an organization where professional storytellers and maybe even semi-professional storytellers.
Right. We have professional storytellers, novice storytellers, as well as story listeners. So you don't have to be a teller to be a member of Teller of Tales. You can come in and listen. But most people, when they come in, even if they say, oh, I'm not a storyteller, I don't have stories to tell, after a while, they realize they do have stories to tell, and they start telling their own stories.
The truth starts to emerge.
And there you go.
So where were some of the venues that the stories were being told?
Well, Teller of Tales, we do a celebration every year in November. Currently, we meet at the Unscrewed Theater. This year, we also told at the Festival of Books. And then individually, we have tellers who go into nursing homes and go into schools and churches as well and tell stories. And this year, we're also going to bring in a professional master storyteller, Joe Hayes, and that concert's going to be held at the Unscrewed Theater.
Is there anything that you'd like to tell us about how the event at the Festival of Books went this year?
Well, I thought it went very well. Our tellers tell so many different types of stories. It's a really a diverse group. And some of the tellers were really new at storytelling. We have a couple of tellers who are also authors, and so they're learning to promote their books by telling stories from their books. We also have a members who are just really funny, and they tell personal stories. And then I don't tell personal stories. I tell folk tales and other stories that, you know, sort of hang with me and won't let me go. So I figure maybe if I tell them, then we can move on. But I love telling African and African-American folk tales.
Speaking of moving on, you told me there was a little girl who didn't want to move on.
Right at the Festival of Books, we had been telling stories for close to 2 hours. And, you know, the crowd was kind of thinning down, and you can see people were all around, were packing up. Mm-hmm. And when I had finished the last story, this little girl in the audience said, "Tell another one." And I just went blank because I wasn't expecting it. And I just felt that everybody was ready to go. So it didn't hit me until a couple of days later. I could have told the first story because she wasn't there, but I just sat down and I talked to her and her mom.
That's so adorable that she wanted to continue hearing the stories, which I think points to you know, kind of an interesting concept, which is, what is the value of telling stories? We live in this era where all of our storytelling practically is mediated by technology.
Right.
What this is, a, I think, a good segue for me to ask why you like to tell stories and what you think the importance of telling stories is.
Well, I think the importance for me is that storytelling connects people. You're looking at people, you know, eye to eye, and there's that emotional connection that happens as well. And it is a situation where you can communicate afterwards. You know, you can ask questions. So it's that human element that I think is so important. And I feel that storytelling really connects people. In a way, I feel that people in general are more alike than we are different. And the more stories you tell or the more stories you hear, you find that people are really more the same. Like, there's Cinderella stories all over the world. And with the Joe Hayes, I've been reading his stories. And there's one story in one of his books that's very similar to an Ethiopian story that I've read. Storytelling really lets us know that, you know, we are all the same. We all want the best. I feel it builds bridges, and that's what we need.
I wanted to ask you to tell us about a story that really impacted you.
Well, one story, it's actually my favorite African folktale, and it's called The Princess of the Full Moon. And the reason that I was so attracted to this story, even though I was an adult when I read it, was that it was the first story that I had ever read or heard that had a Black princess. You know, growing up, you know, with Disney, you know, the princes and the queens were always peaches and cream complexion and long straight hair, and I just couldn't identify with that. But when I read this story, it was a magical story. It opened up a new world for me, that there is, you know, a whole world out there. You know, you live in Arizona, you live in one place for a long time, you're not really aware of what's going on in the world. And I feel like it's a lot of things that I wasn't taught. You know, I wasn't taught in school. And you have to just go out and do your own education. I find that I didn't realize growing up that there were so many African-American cowboys and African-Americans who were inventors. And I feel like it's really not being, I work in a school, and it's really not being taught. I think a lot of it, the information is still not being taught. When you get into African-American history, it's, oh, there was slavery, and there was George Washington Carver, and there's not very much else that you hear even today. And so I think there's a lot of stories that need to be told, and a lot of people that we don't hear about that we all should know about.
What do you think makes for really good storytelling and for maybe not so good storytelling?
Well, I think really good storytelling touches you in some kind of a way, that when you leave, wherever it is, if it's a school, a library, or a theater, wherever you hear the storytelling, you're leaving with a little bit more than what you came in with. And I think that's what makes a really good story, is that even if it's not your experience, you can still make some kind of identity with that story, or some kind of emotional connection. And it gets back to, I think a good story not only has a beginning, middle, and end, but it also teaches you something. I think that a story that's not so good is a story that, for one, it's going to put your audience to sleep. And another thing is that at the end, there's all these questions. And if it's a complete story and if it's a good story, there should be no questions at the end, you know, unless it's part of your story. Like, one of my favorite types of stories to tell our dilemma stories, where it's basically up to the audience to come up with the answer or come up with the ending of the story.
And in terms of advice for storytellers?
Not to apologize, because the audience doesn't know. The audience is not aware that you made a mistake or that you forgot a part of the story until you say, oh, I'm sorry, let me go back. Just keep on telling your story, and you can wind it around where, I mean, if you catch it in your mind that you forgot a section, you know, you can always tie it in. But don't apologize. Your audience is there rooting for you. They want to be entertained. They want to hear a good story. And so just relax, take a deep breath, and tell the story that you know. You have to enjoy what you're doing. And I think that really comes across, that you're enjoying being there, and then your audience usually enjoys being there as well.
So I really wanted to ask you if you could tell us a story.
Oh, well, sure. I would love to tell a story. And the story that I'd like to share with you is a dilemma story, and it comes from South Africa. This is my version of the story. So I've made the story my own, and it's called Fast Friends. Well, two strangers met on a path just as night was falling, and they became fast friends. So they decided that they would accompany each other to the nearby village. Well, once they arrived, they sought out the chief to ask for permission to stay the night, which was the custom. And the chief said, "Welcome, strangers, we welcome you. There is a guest house where you can sleep and plenty of food that you can eat. But know that in this village there is a custom of long standing. Strangers may sleep here, but in fear of death, they may not snore." Well, the fast friends talked it over briefly and decided that they would stay. So they were given plenty of delicious food to eat, then escorted to the guest house. And as soon as their heads hit the mat, you know what happened? I know you know what happened. One of the friends started to snore, and it sounded like this: voo, 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 voo. Well, his companion tried to wake him up. He shook him, and he shook him, and he shook him some more. But he continued to hear voo, 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 voo. Well, as he was sitting there, he also heard another sound that went like tss, tss, which was the sound of the people in the village preparing their weapons. And he knew that his new friend would be killed in his sleep. So he tried to wake him again. He shook him. He kicked him off the mat. He doused him with water. But he still continued to hear voo, 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 and tss. Well, out of nowhere, without even thinking, he started to sing voo, voo, liu, voo, 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 liu, voo. We met on the path, liu, voo, 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 liu, voo. And he sang so loud, and his voice was so strong and rich, that the people couldn't hear the snoring anymore. So they set aside their weapons and they pulled out their drums and they started to play along. Voo, voo, liu, voo. All night long, all the people in the village, the little children, the teenagers, the adults, even the elders and the chief, stayed up all night singing, dancing, and playing. And all night long, one of the friends snored, voo, voo, voo. And all night long, one of the friends sang, voo, voo, liu, voo. Well, when daylight came, the two friends went to see the chief to thank him for allowing them to stay the night. But the chief pushed a purse full of money into their hands and said, "Thank you, strangers. Because of you, my people spent the night singing and dancing. You are always, always, always welcome in this village." Well, Back on the path, the two friends began to wonder, then question, then quarrel, then fight over who should receive the greater portion of the reward. Well, the singer said, "I stayed up all night singing. Surely I should get more of the money." And the snorer said, "Well, if I hadn't snored, you wouldn't have sang, so I should receive more." And the singer said, "They were preparing their weapons. They were getting ready to kill you. Surely that I should get more of the money." And the snorer said, "No, I was the inspiration. Surely I should receive more." And they argued and they argued and they couldn't agree. Could you? And that is a story called The Fast Friends. You know, one thing about that story is when I tell it to little kids, it's always, "Oh, well, it should be equal. You know, they should just divide it straight in half." And I said, "Well, what if it's 13 coins? They can't divide it in half." So keep that in mind when you think about who should get the most money.
That was great.
Oh, thank you.
Would you like to invite people to the Joe Hayes concert on April 6th?
I would. I would love for people to come out and hear Joe Hayes. Joe Hayes grew up in Arizona. He went to high school in Benson, and then he came to the University of Arizona, and he did his student teaching at Pueblo High School, which is my alma mater. And he also taught in Sunnyside School District for 6 years. Before he moved to New Mexico. I want to welcome him back to Arizona, and I wanted to welcome everyone to come out and to hear him tell his stories. And his stories are bilingual, and he also has several books. He's written over 25 books, and so I'm sure he'll have books to sell and books to sign. So come on out to the Unscrewed Theater, and it's at 4500 East Speedway. And you can also purchase your tickets online at www.unscrewtheater.org.
And there's also more information about Tellers of Tales and links for buying tickets at tellersoftalestucson.com. This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County.